I want to think about the words of Jeremiah to Barak in Jeremiah 45, at the end there in verse 5. Do not seek great things for yourself. Or do you seek great things for yourself? Don't seek them. For behold, I will bring evil on all flesh, says Yahweh, but your life will I give to you for a prey in all places where you go. Now in Jeremiah 36, Barak had been the faithful scribe who'd suffered with Jeremiah. He had faithfully written down God's word and suffered because of it, had to go into hiding, etc. But now, despite all that earlier commitment, now that Jeremiah has chosen to identify with God's very weak people and had chosen to stick with them rather than take up the offer of the soft life in Babylon, I think Barak sort of felt a loyalty to Jeremiah, felt he had to tag along with him, but he resents it. Just shows that you can make a great level of commitment at one point in your life, but that will not tide you through. Spirituality is about day by day keeping at it. Doesn't matter what great peak you might achieve, but the issue is keeping at it. I know fine brethren from very strong Muslim societies who risked huge risks, persecuted, tortured, cigarette lighter on the testicles, stuff like that, because they insisted on preaching, and you thought, what wonderful brethren. And they finally got out of the societies they were in, eventually got asylum in Western countries, and then they got a job, and then they got a mortgage, and then they started making payments on a car, and their faith was seriously damaged, shall we say, by the soft life. And so it just shows you've got to keep on and on, day by day. This is where habits are so important. Daily Bible reading, daily prayer, regular prayer, reflection, quiet time with the Lord. These are the things that one has to keep up day by day. So Jeremiah is now encouraging Barak not to seek great things for himself, to imagine a life of ease there in Babylon. And I want to pay attention to the reason that's given. I will bring evil on all flesh. Babylon was also going to fall at some point, according to the prophecies. But your life will I give to you for a prey, literally as booty taken from a conquered city. So I think this was the great paradox, that by accepting defeat at the hands of the Babylonians and accepting the life of the defeated amongst the remnant of Judah that remained, this would be the great victory. By accepting defeat, that, yep, we have sinned and we're taking the due consequence for that, this is the great victory, rather than cavilling against it. This is what Buechner called many years ago the magnificent defeat. And this is really the whole principle that you see all through the Bible. You see the Lord Jesus above all, through the magnificent defeat on the cross, winning the ultimate victory. And so he's told that, look, instead of seeking great things for yourself, great material things in the court of Babylon, because you had prophesied along with Jeremiah that, yeah, we should surrender to the Babylonians, we should accept them, and getting some glory and reward for that. Instead, he was seeking great things. And instead of those great things of material reward, he's told, I will give you your life. And in fact, the same sort of promise is made to Ebed-Melech earlier in Jeremiah 39:18, where basically he's told that because of all that you've done in trying to save Jeremiah, I'll give you your life. And in the Septuagint here in Jeremiah 45, verse 5, when God says, but your life will I give to you, the Septuagint says, and you shall find your life. And you shall find your life. And that's quoted by Jesus. Matthew 10:29, 16:25, where he says that he who loses his life, or risks losing it for the Lord's sake, will find it. And I think that is a promise for this life. It's not only talking about the life eternal at the day of judgment, but you will find your life. You will find yourself. So he's saying to Barak, Jeremiah's saying to Barak here, don't seek great things for yourself, because all that you see, Babylon and the glory of this world, is all going to come to nothing. But I'll give you your life. I'll preserve your life. I will give you your life. You shall find your life, the Septuagint says. And Jesus quotes that and applies it to us as if we are in Barak's position. And this is where the Bible becomes a living word, because who has not been tempted to seek great things for themselves in this life? Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. All the same, there is the tendency to seek material greatness and the good life now. But I will give you your life. You shall find your life. So the reward then was not, well, I'll give you riches just if you stay and if you hang out with me, I'll give you some wonderful life. No. God is saying, but you shall find your life. This is the greatest thing. To perceive that your life, that your heart is still beating, that you're alive, that you have life to serve God with, that is the greatest realization, far greater than all the great things that this man was tempted to seek for himself. And so this is the great message, that you can use your life to serve God if you're not seeking great things in a material sense for yourself. And this is the, as I say, the wonderful truth, the greatest truth, really, that you can find your life. You can find meaning. You can play a part in God's purpose. You can save other people. Now, one thing that I've learned, and I think you'd all say that you've learned, is you don't need money to be happy. You don't need great things to be happy. This is the biggest myth of it all, that you need money to be happy. And if you've got money in your pocket, then you can have a great life and it's just going to be so cool. No, wealth doesn't bring happiness. It doesn't bring fulfillment. It is as simple as that. But you can find your life. Don't seek great things, because I will preserve your life. You shall find your life. You shall find yourself. A place for yourself within God's purpose. Your life takes on meaning. This is the greatest blessing that there could be. This is life, as the Lord Jesus said, and life more abundantly. This is the true life. Again, as John puts it in his letters. Or as the Lord Jesus says in John's Gospel, this is life eternal. You can start living the kind of life you will live eternally in God's kingdom now. Sure, your body is going to continue the aging process and you're going to die and you shall be unconscious until Jesus comes back and the resurrection and the day of judgment, and then by his grace you receive the change of nature and you live, as it were, on a physical level, that eternal life. But the essence of the kingdom life, you can live now. And this is the greatest blessing, and this is why we are put by the Lord Jesus in Barak's position when he says, don't seek great things for yourself, because I will preserve your life and you shall find your life. This is the greatest blessing. Please take it.